Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
We're currently joined by a very special guest coming to us live from Roundhead Studios. We have Dee Stevens from the band School Fear. We're talking about their new LP, Bird the Kid. Morena, Dee, how you doing?
Morning, Zach. I'm well. How are you going?
Nice. I'm real chill, man. Been playing a little hip-hop this morning, as I usually do on Thursday, and that has been real lovely, very, very fun. How are things at Roundhead?
Things are good. It's a sunny morning up here in Tamaki, so we've got some beautiful light coming through the windows, and it's all feeling good.
Nice. You're fresh off releasing the new LP, Bird the Kid. It came out quite literally yesterday, which is pretty awesome. Is it would you call it an album?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd call it an album. What cool. Is it 10 tracks or something? That's an LP length. Yeah.
Just because I get confused with LP. Not LP and EP, but I get confused what an LP is exactly. But
LP just stands for long player. So when they used to have, like, you know, enough songs to fit on a long playing disc, it would be an LP. And then an EP was like
extended play, right?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
I should probably know this as someone who works in music, but anyway, very, very glad to have you on the program today, and we're talking about this new LP. Who is Bird the Kid? Who or what is Bird the Kid?
Honestly, I'm not the right person to answer that question. Finlay, who does all of the kind of poetry and spoken word and vocal in the ensemble, he kind of coined that title. And I'm sure that there's some narrative deep in the record and it's conceptual stuff that he is referencing there. But I don't know who Bird is specifically.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Maybe I'll get him on next time and he can answer that question. But you'll probably be able to answer this next one. Looking at the album cover, it's a very blurry shot of some people walking on a beach, and it's a shot of the back of their bodies, I guess, of their backs. Was it shot at an Aussie Potty beach? Because I feel like I've been on that beach before.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's just St. Clair Beach.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Is that your favourite Dunedin beach?
No, I reckon, I mean, it's obviously quite sentimental. I was born around that area, and I'm sure that it's for a lot of people down there. But I think Tomahawk's great, and I think Atamoana. Mm-hmm. It's quite beautiful too.
Atamoana is gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah, I think between those two. Mm-hmm. Tomahawk has a special place in my heart, though, I think.
Yeah. It is a gorgeous beach. I love how there's lots of seals at Tomahawk. I think Putakanui is up there for me, yeah. It's a real cool little spot. It's a gorgeous
place. Putakanui is great.
Yeah, totally. And then there's a lot of crossover between Marlon Streaming and School Fear in terms of membership, with you, Samisi, and Hamish being part of both four-man bands. Has School Fear ever opened for Marlon Streaming?
No. I don't know if that would
go down so
well. I think that, you know, the stylistically it could work okay, maybe with like some more of the newer Marlon Streaming material, but I don't know if we would ever succumb to almost doing like a costume change or something, and just like the same people are up, except instead of Finlay it's Oscar.
It's hilarious.
So we just play a really long set, basically, you know.
Yeah. I think that's quite a common thing in a lot of New Zealand bands, is that there'll be like two bands, but two of them will have half the same people, you know. It's quite a thing down there in Dunedin, which is pretty fun.
Well, it's a long tale in Dunedin of just never being enough drummers, you know. So it's usually like the same two drummers in every band, right?
Yeah, totally. Shout out to Josh Nichols. Big shout out to Josh Nichols. Excellent drummer. How is it releasing an album when the country isn't facing a pandemic and soon to come lockdown? Because that seemed to have stalled a great deal of gigging opportunities for you when your first LP came out in 2021.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, the thing is with School Fear is that it's I wouldn't even really call it a side project. It was more of just, you know, we were hanging out, we were fucking around with a tape machine and writing some songs, and then we ended up with a record and decided to put it out, but it was never like, okay, we're going to tour it and we're going to be like a proper band with all the promo and like do all the stuff. It was just sort of like a fun and interesting thing to do for us. And we just really wanted to do a second record, especially because two of us have moved overseas. So it was kind of a matter of getting it done before then.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't, yeah, I mean, I guess it feels good not being in a pandemic. Yeah.
Thank you for that. Very good answer there. There was about a 3 to 4 year gap between this and the last School Fair project, Gorse on the Hill. And, you know, I want to know, how does it feel to come back to this project after doing a lot of solo stuff and working on the 2024 Mullen streaming release, Hurl?
I mean, it's just like what I said in that last answer, really. I think that the, you know, we always would probably put Marlon's first in terms of, like, you know, and we'd prioritise that. And I think that, for reference, we actually recorded this record, I think it was the start of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just been actually sitting
on the back
for a really long time, and we've just been kind of like tinkering away at it and things like that. So it's it wasn't intended for it to be a 3 to 4 year gap between the two sort of things, but there was never any intention for anything of any kind, really. So it's just sort of the way it's worked out. But in a way, I think that that first record is quite a different soundscape and landscape to this new one, so maybe it just required that amount of time.
Mm-hmm. It definitely seems to be a lot more freedom when it comes to creating the sound of School Fair as compared to Marlon streaming. For instance, there's the track You Only Love Me Because You Want Something, which has an incredibly impromptu, unanticipated, distorted, glitchy breakdown towards the kind of midpoint of the track. What do you think School Fair gives you that you can't get from Marlon streaming?
Well, I think Marlon's Dreaming is sort of set in the context of CMEC, and then the three of us sort of all writing songs, you know, like it's, we write songs, and it's a very kind of like guitar music based band. And there is freedom in Marlon's Dreaming too, but I think it's sort of, it just ends up sort of fitting in that space, you know? Whereas with School Fair, there is no precedent. There is no kind of like expectation of what we should do,
yeah,
or what we shouldn't do. And I knew that when we started the second record, we wanted to kind of move away from focusing on almost like kind of really stripped back, slightly almost lo-fi sounding, you know, angular guitar music, and kind of explore more strange, weird territories that Finlay's poems could sit on top of. And, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah,
I love the poetry on this thing. I mean, on Sound of Night, the vocals are extremely Shakespearean, with Finlay just saying, "Hold thee," over and over and over. Like, that is a really, really, really effective way of just, I don't know, really creating an evocative response in the listener, I think.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, sorry, you go, sorry.
Oh, no, please, continue.
No, I cut you off, sorry.
Otherwise.
Okay. Last time you created the record, the band was using a 4-track cassette recorder. Is that the same recorder that you've used for this one?
No, not at all.
So you're free from the bounds from that.
I suppose so. Yeah, I think that's what we wanted to do. We kind of it was a matter of just like we had a certain amount of time that we could put towards making the record, and we kind of thought about what we wanted to do, and we thought, well, School Fair isn't really anything. It's just like, we don't have to say it's supposed to be lo-fi, 4-track guitar music. It can be whatever we wanted. We could have made a hip-hop record, you know?
Mm.
We decided that we wanted to record it sort of in a more studio-y way, and multi-track and overdub things. But the lineage between the two, the things that tie the two together, is that it's all, a lot of it is improv. So like we just sort of set up a whole lot of microphones and in a room with the, you know, drums, a piano and guitars and all that kind of stuff, and just went for it. We had some songs written before we went into that, but a lot of the stuff you hear on the record was just jams that we kind of edited down. you know, there's a couple quite long tracks.
Yeah, totally.
But they would have been a lot longer if we not edited them down, because they were just slinky jams, really.
I do want to touch on the process, because it seems like, from what you just said, it's a little bit more organized than last time. Because in an interview with Musician, you said that for the last release, the recording consisted of writing a song in about 30 minutes, memorizing the structure enough so that you and Hamish could track bass and drums onto two of the four tape tracks. Meanwhile, Finley or Samisi would be scribbling away at sentences in a dark corner.
Yeah.
Which... you can definitely hear that in the tunes. So would you say it's a little bit more organized here with the recording process?
Yeah, I think the fact that there was maybe like, you know, three or four tracks that we had kind of, you know, maybe we'd played them at shows already and hadn't recorded them, so that we knew that we were just going to go in and record them and you know, in a standard sense. But But as I was saying, like we wanted to just create a space where we could just jam and play and kind of improvise and write on the spot. So yeah, I'd say sort of 60-70% of the record is just stuff that we've jammed on the spot. Just trying to remember track titles, but like songs like. Gorse the Golden and A Torn Moon Mended, and even like some that sound more songy, like You Only Love Me Because You Want Something, like those were all just jams that we just then ended up editing later. But Finlay would still be, you know, you'd hear him in the vocal booth like tapping away on his laptop writing a poem on the spot while we were jamming. And then he would sort of join in, and then we would just have to cut out the sort of sections that he wasn't speaking over top of and just turn it into something that sounded like a song.
Nice. There's definitely a spirit of spontaneity, you could say, here.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. One thing I really like about this record is that the sound is very, very broad, and I do like how it has some very strong moments to me of a sort of country gaze vibe towards the very end of the project on the track Leaving This Rancid City Slain. On the surface, well, it seems as though you'll are more focused on consolidating ideas here, as there's like, you know, 2 7-minute tracks, and the album goes for a wee bit longer than your 2021 release Gorse on the Hill, which has 11 songs, which are mostly around the 3-minute mark. Given those are some of the changes, and you've taken a bit of a more jammy approach to this record, what would you say the approach for the next record could be? If there will be a next record.
If there will be a next record, I mean, honestly, it could go any way. I think that we just really love playing together, you know. It's more about that than anything. And Finlay's just always writing, you know, and I think he's always responding to stuff in the moment and what we're doing. So as long as there's some sort of basis that's what's going on, then I think it really could be any style, you know. But the difference, well, I mean, a huge difference between the tape and the, you know, tracking in a computer like we did this time is that we were able to edit stuff and chop drums up and loop things and deal with this sort of stuff. So it wasn't sort of committing to these jams that we had, but instead, you know, so maybe next time we'll go even further in that direction. And I really don't know. I couldn't really tell you, to be honest.
I think it'd be cool to see more of the glitchy electronica breakdown stuff. I think that'd be real, real sick.
I'll keep that in mind.
I think you guys did a really, really awesome job with that. It reminded me of Black Dresses, if you're familiar with them. They're a real...
No, I'm not.
Very, very terrifying group.
I'll check Black Dresses out.
Another thing I really appreciate about this record is the last track, Bald Heads Kraken, which reads to me as an ode to the futility, the tasteless decadence and immorality of the up-crust national voting Pakeha elite in this country. And I think it serves as the best example of spoken word delivery, which appears all over this thing. So I just want to say big ups to Finlay for writing such fantastic lyrics that take down the bourgeois, so to speak.
I think, yeah, I couldn't put it better than that.
Have you got any shows to announce, Dee?
Nah, we don't have any shows. It's half of the band's in London, so we're kind of, yeah, the record's out and people can listen to the record, and maybe at some point in the future we'll be together again and we'll organise a show or something. But for now, you can just enjoy the record.
Uh-huh. Will there be any physical release of the record?
I remember last time we sort of like printed the record over a bunch of secondhand like op shop cassette tapes. Nice. Maybe we'll do something like that again. I don't know. Nice. I think it would be cool to do CDs this time though, you know, like we did cassette tapes last time. Maybe we can evolve into CDs. I don't know. It seems fitting. Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever you do, I hope the band stays cool and mysterious. And I want to thank you for your time and coming on this morning, Dee. It was great chatting with you.
No worries, Zach. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. All right, folks. That was Dee Stevens from the band School Fear. We're chatting about their new LP, Bird the Kid, which you can find all over the internet and streaming platforms. We're going to play Baldhead's Kraken from that LP right now, and then we might have a surf report. We'll see. We'll see. We'll keep it pretty loose. Ka kite.
Saturday morning, three flies on the kitchen counter. Ting, 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 it's that kind of morning. Back to bed with the 9 a.m. radio, screams a weather warning. Mr. Luxon's on a trade trip to China. A blue collar, gone sour.
Yeah, now, Siebs, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.